It may set you apart when you make room in your heart and trade your dreams for His glory. Make room in your heart. Make room in your heart. Make room in your heart. Make room in your heart.
Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this day, for all that you're doing in this church body of believers. Lord, I pray that each one of us would open up our hearts this morning. We would just be willing to hear from you, to listen to what you have to say, and then to act upon it. Father, may you grab our attention this morning. May nothing else going on around us, going on this afternoon, this week, but only you, may we be concerned about hearing from. Have your way now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I remember the announcement I missed. Everybody be sure and tell Amy happy birthday today. Today's her birthday, and so be sure and tell her happy birthday before you leave. We're going to begin in Matthew chapter 3. And I don't know how many of you remember last week's sermon, but we talked about that God has a purpose, God has a plan for you. For such a time as this, you were placed here, that God has something in store for you. I don't know how many of you live that out this week or not, but we were talking about whether you're young or whether you're old, that God still has a purpose and a plan for you. And last week we talked about John the Baptist's parents, and they were old, well along in years, but still God had a purpose and a plan. And so today, where I want to begin is the purpose and the plan that God had for John the Baptist, and just continue that on for what He has in store for you and me, okay? Matthew chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near.' This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, preparing the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." God had a purpose. God had a plan. And here John is fulfilling this. And as I was praying and studying on this, I almost went in a different direction, but I trust that the Lord led me in the direction that we're going. But a thought that I had is that could John the Baptist have not gone in the path that God had for him? You might say, well, it says the Holy Spirit was in him from the time he was a child. If you remember, in his mother's womb, he even leaped in his mother's womb when they came in the presence of Mary. So, but you look at Samson, and what did happen with him? Did he fulfill the what God had said? No, he got led astray by Delilah, right? And so he got all messed up. And so that's not the message this morning. But what I'm saying is, if you want to fulfill what God has in store for you, stay plugged in. Keep seeking Him. Don't just say, "Okay, God, I know you have a plan," and you don't fellowship, you don't have the relationship with Him. But John the Baptist was fulfilling what the Lord had called him to do. Verse 4, John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. You know, today we try to make church so desirable for everybody. You know, and to suit and meet everybody's needs, and to just try and draw as many people in as we can. John the Baptist is out there eating locusts and wild honey, wearing camel hair clothes. And what did it say? People went out to him. They were drawn to him. You know, I wonder if we're trying to conform so much to the world and society to try and get people into church. They say, why do I need to go to church? You act just like me. You look just like me. You dress just like me. He was different. And I'm not saying that we need to be different to just be different. We need to follow what the Lord is doing, what the Lord is saying. You think here in Mansfield, well, you know, I just heard yesterday that there's another church going to be opening up in Mansfield. Do we need another church? I don't know. But we got a lot of empty churches right now. Right? It's not full anyway. The people went out to John the Baptist and he had a message for them. God has a purpose and a plan for you. God has a purpose and plan for me. God has a purpose and a plan for Coop Prairie. Are we fulfilling that? Are people coming saying, man, there's something different. I want what they have. I don't know that much history to it, but when I first got saved and worked at UPS and a buddy of mine started going to Lavaca First Baptist, and that church went from a small, you know, little community Baptist church, probably like what Mansfield First Baptist was, to having to build this huge sanctuary and put on TV and all this, people were drawn. My buddy lived in Hartford, would drive to Lavaca to go to that church. Y'all, that God was using them. God was doing something there. And we think, well, it can't happen here at Mansfield. There's a church on every corner. We're where we're at. We're going to be what we're going to be. But I promise you, if we start seeking the Lord with all of our heart and live for Him and realize that He has a purpose and a plan and begin to preach the gospel, the true gospel, not appeasement, not come and, oh yeah, I talked to somebody the other day, and I hadn't talked to him in a long time, and I felt like I was supposed to call him. And they've always had excuses why they don't come to Coop Prairie. They used to come here years ago, but there's always an excuse. And they said to me, well, you know, we really want to go someplace that has a children's. I said, we got children's now. Oh, you do? You do? Well, I'll talk to my wife, and we'll see. It's been over 2 months. I hadn't heard from them. They hadn't shown up. But y'all, I'm not looking to appease people. I'm not saying, oh, we've got children now. We've got this. We've got a dynamic preacher. We've got fantastic music. Come! No, that's not what I'm doing. But y'all, what was John saying? Let's read on verse 7. Well, hang on. People went out from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan. Verse 7, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not think that you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the tree, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. His message was, repent! Repent! I underlined here the coming wrath. Side note, all we talk about is God's love today. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing. God, I'm so thankful for God's mercy, God's grace, God's love in my life, His patience with me. But the reality is, there is a coming wrath. We read it in Romans chapter 2 in Sunday school this morning, a wrath. There is a coming wrath someday for those that are disobedient, those that have not put their trust in Jesus Christ. There is a coming wrath. John didn't make no bones about it. He didn't appease them. He didn't say, oh, you're so wonderful. Glad that we've got all the elitists in the community here this morning. And, you know, it's like when somebody comes that thinks they're something, or we all think are something, and all at once we feel a little bit bigger. Oh, they're coming to our church now. We got so-and-so, or we got this, or we got that. Yeah, he didn't do that. Who warned you? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. He preached the message. Let's go on, verse 11. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. I underline there the first part, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. I don't know. But the first thought that came to my mind with that is being baptized with the Holy Spirit, fruit of the Spirit. We all know what the fruit of the Spirit is. Being baptized with the Holy Spirit, but then with fire. And I thought, what does that mean? Maybe somebody's got a better explanation than I'm about to give. Some of you are smarter than me and everything, but this is just kind of what the Holy Spirit laid on my mind. There's two different kinds of fire that we could have. A fire of maybe like excitement and everything. But I also thought of a fire of oftentimes what's happening in the Bible when it talks about fire. It talks about burning out the impurities, right? Burning out the impurities. So He's going to baptize us with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Burning up everything inside of us that doesn't need to be there. Burning out the impurities. The things that don't belong. And I don't know about y'all, but I think some of us need a fresh revival and a fresh baptism of fire in our heart because we've allowed the world to penetrate us so much that we're full of this garbage, and we need a good kindling inside of us of that fire to burn out all these impurities. Now, I might be wrong on that, but that's what the Holy Spirit laid on my heart. And y'all, that fire to burn up all that junk, all that garbage. So the main thing that I want to talk about, though, is produce fruit in keeping with repentance. This is the same message today. 2,000 years ago, and it's the same message today. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Well, produce fruit, it's what's coming out of your life. It's what's the overflow of your life. It's what's being bore out of you. In Luke 6, verse 43, if you want to jump over there, it says, "No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. The good man brings the good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings the evil out of the evil stored up in his heart, for out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks." That's the end of that little section, but then verse 46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" When I'm thinking about all this, is producing fruit is doing what the Lord says. And are we producing out of the good stored up in our heart? Is it the overflow? Is it what's coming out of us? Is it what's growing? And you say, well, how can I see evidence of good fruit? I want y'all to think about that a second while I get a drink of water here. How do you see evidence of good fruit in your life? Well, jump back to Luke 6:27, and to me, this was a very good example of seeing fruit bore in your life. He says, "But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you." What? Pray for those who mistreat you? Bless those who curse you? But I want to be mean back when they post that ugly thing, when they say that hurtful thing. I want to say something hurtful back. Boy, I got a good cut down, and I'll make everybody laugh when I pay them back for what they did. Is that good fruit, paying back? No, it's when we bless those who curse us. Verse 29 says, "If someone strikes you on the cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, Do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. That's the golden rule, right? Do to others as you would have them do unto you. That's what we've always heard, but it's so true. And I think about that, and I see people being so hateful and so mean. I saw in the news last night where a 69-year-old man was arrested at Walmart. Well, he actually left. They went to his house. They arrested him because the lady, the man in front of him was taking too long at the checkout, so he punched him. He punched him because he's taking too long in the checkout. And they went to his house and arrested him. Now, I just think about that and I think, you know, have you ever been frustrated with the people in front of you at Walmart? Has everybody been frustrated with the people in front of them at Walmart? But then I was at Walmart this week buying some stuff for the Christmas party next week. And I was getting some gift cards and the lady couldn't get him to work, and there was a guy standing behind me, and he came up after she'd already started checking me out, and he had like three things, and he's standing there, and I could just see the frustration building on him, and then I'm getting frustrated because it's like, lady, just scan the card and get the money on it. What are you doing, you know? And finally he goes, and he goes around and goes to another checkout. I've been him, have like two items, and the person in front of you is taking forever, but I wanted to say, it's not my fault. She can't get it to work. But what if he'd have punched me? Why are you buying gift cards? I'm buying them for church. Do unto others. But I see such hatefulness, such meanness. And I think, how would you feel if you were treated that way? The way people are with their kids, but if someone treated their kid that way, but they're okay with calling out someone else's child. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That is bearing good fruit. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. See, we're no different when we're just being good to those who are good to us, kind to those who are kind to us. And if you lend to those whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to get repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them, without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. How do you see? Are you bearing good fruit? Are you merciful and to the ungrateful? Are you kind, even when people don't deserve it? That's bearing good fruit. That is seeing evidence of the fruit in your life. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. You say, how can I love those who hate me and mistreat me? Pete, you're asking me to do something that's about impossible. How could I possibly do that? Jump over to John 15. And familiar text this morning, but it's so important that we live this out each and every day. John 15, he says, I am the vine. I am the true vine, and my Father is a gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. What was John the Baptist saying? You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. John the Baptist was preaching that, and here it's being said again by Jesus. He cuts off every branch that bears no fruit. Are you bearing fruit this morning? By every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Some of you this morning might be saying, Pete, I think I bear fruit, and every time I bear fruit, it's like I get knocked 10 steps back. It feels like my legs are getting cut out from under me, or this happens or that happens. Maybe that's the pruning process. Maybe I'm not a gardener. I'm terrible with all that stuff, and it was a few years back, you're supposed to trim your rose bushes in February, right? The end of February or something like that. And I forgot one year and the rose bushes were bad. And Crystal's like, you're going to have to get out there and prune those rose bushes. And so I went out and I pruned the rose bushes. And I thought, well, if it's good for the rose bushes, then it's good for all these others. It wasn't good for the others. And these real pretty, I don't even know what they were called. We had them at the corner of each of our house. I thought, them need to be pruned. And it killed one, and the other one, I don't know, it's probably been at least 3 years, it's finally grown back. It didn't need the pruning, but ignorant as I am, I didn't know what's good for the rose bushes, I'll just prune the rest of them. And Chris come home, she's like, Pete, what have you done? I didn't know. But our Father knows who needs to be pruned in the season and the time that he needs to be pruned so that it produces something beautiful. Those rose bushes, when you prune them, and then they grow back and they're even more beautiful than before. Y'all, in our life, sometimes God's going to be pruning things out, cutting things away. Verse 3 says, you're already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. And here it is. Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. We say, how can I love my enemies? How can I do kind to those who mistreat me, to those who cut me down, to those who are mean? Right here, remain in him. Verse 5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Bearing much fruit. Now, there's all different kinds of fruit, and I'm just concentrating on the loving your enemy and that as part of the evidence. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit, there's so much fruit that can be bore in our life. And we're going to bear much fruit if we remain in Him. Verse 6, if anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. I was thinking about this and I thought of how many times have we seen people fall away from the Lord and it just seemed like it was quick and sudden, and you're like, how did that happen? Man, they were here 1 week, or they were teaching class, or they were doing this, and then the next week it's like, what happened? How did they fall away? And it hit me. We cut down a tree this week, and I had to have help, because I'm not a lumberjack either, and this tree was close to my house, and I was scared that eventually it was going to fall on the house. So Tim loaned us a thing and this giant come along, and the tree fell where we wanted it to. We didn't tear up anything. But you know, those branches are all piled up in a big pile in my yard, and they've been cut down for, you know, several days now. And it's a pine tree, and the pine needles are still green. Isn't that weird? They're still green. And, you know, someone had told me that if I took charcoal and put it on the stump, even with it still being fresh, that sap and everything, that it'll burn. It didn't work. I don't know if I did it wrong or what, but I tried burning the stump, but it wouldn't burn. But back to the branches. Those branches are severed now. They're no longer part of the tree. But they still look like they're alive. And maybe they still have a little bit of life in them. But it's not going to be much longer. And what's going to happen to them? The little bit of pine needles that's left is going to fall off. And hopefully within a few months, I'm going to be able to take a match and throw it to that, and it's going to burn up and it's all going to be gone. You say, Pete, you've lost me. Why are you telling this story? Sometimes when it seems like people have fallen away and it's sudden, I wonder if they hadn't been cut off for a long time. We just didn't see evidence of it. Does that make sense? They hadn't been reading their Bible. They hadn't been praying. They hadn't been seeking the Lord. They hadn't been worshiping. They hadn't been fellowshipping. And all at once, they're not here anymore and they've gone crazy. And you say, how could that happen? Well, y'all, I think it happened maybe weeks, months before that they quit doing the things that they knew that they were supposed to do. I think it's in Revelation when it talks about getting hot or getting cold and don't be lukewarm. And I think it's in all that that he talks about going back to the things that you did at first. And y'all, this morning, if you don't feel like you're plugged in anymore, go back to the things that you did when you were first saved. Reading your Bible, praying, seeking that relationship. Because apart from Him, we can produce no fruit and we can do nothing. Verse 9 says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remained in His love. Are we obeying? That's producing fruit. This sermon's taking longer than I thought. I'm going to try and kick it up a notch here. He says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. We've talked about that before. I've preached on that before. You're lacking joy. Start walking in obedience. Get obedient to what the Father's telling you to do. My command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. To go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Is there fruit in your life? If there's not fruit in your life, are you plugged in? Are you plugged into our Heavenly Father? That might be the problem. You're not plugged in anymore and you're like that branch that's been severed and you still look okay. You still don't quite look dead, but on the inside you're dying. And it will become evident eventually. Are you plugged into the Father? James 1:22 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. See, I think for many sitting in churches on Sunday morning, they think that that's being a Christian. They think that's it. I'm good. I come to church. I've done what I was supposed to do this week. I got my check mark. But no, we're supposed to do what this word says. James 2:18 says, but someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. This all ties in together, y'all, producing fruit in keeping with repentance. I will show you my faith by what I do. It's living out your life for Jesus Christ. This week I got really frustrated with some coworkers. And I just get so frustrated with people taking shortcuts and not doing their job that they're paid to do. And I fixed something that someone had loaded on a trailer and they shouldn't have loaded it that way. And it's one of our part-time employees. And I just grabbed the stuff and I threw it out the trailer. And I said to myself, we're better than this. We're better than this. We don't need to do, we're better than this. And I think about that with my relationship with my Father. How many times I don't do what I'm supposed to do. I'm better than that. I should be doing what's right. I'm better than that. You're better than that. You should be doing what's right every time. I will show you my faith by what I do. Are you producing fruit keeping with repentance? And then we're going to end with the repentance. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And repentance is not talked about a lot today, but repentance, a change of mind, as it appears to one who repents, to think differently or afterwards reconsider to change one's mind for better, heartily to amend with abhorrence of one's past sin involves a turning with contrition from sin to God. So repentance is turning away, a changed mind, turning from sins and turning to God. Is there fruit being produced in our life keeping with repentance? It's the message today, just as it was 2,000 years ago. Matthew 4:17, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." Have you repented this morning? Have you changed your mind about sin? Have you turned from sin and turned to Jesus Christ? Luke 13:1, and this is, we're going to end here. Luke 13:1. Now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you too will also perish." Or those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all others living in Jerusalem? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you too will all perish. Repent. Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but he did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now I have been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." This is the digging, and this is the fertilizing this morning. Okay? Is there fruit in your life? Are you a confessing Christian this morning? And if you're a confessing Christian, are you a living it out Christian also? I've used this example before. I'm a Razorback. I'm a Razorback fan, though. I've never went and put on a Razorback uniform of any kind. I've never wore a baseball uniform, a basketball uniform, or a football uniform. You know what? I can go up to Academy and I can buy me a Razorback jersey of my favorite player. But that doesn't make me a Razorback, does it? It's only if I got on the field and I caught a pass or blocked somebody and I participated that I became a Razorback. You know, we got many people putting on the jerseys of Christianity, but they're not participating at all. Have you repented this morning? Does your life show proof of that? For such a time as this, God has chosen you to be here in this church service this morning. For such a time as this, God has placed you in this part of the state. God has a plan and a purpose for you. There is a coming wrath coming someday for those who are disobedient. But my prayer is that none of you would be living a disobedient life, but that each of you would be producing fruit in keeping with repentance this morning. Let's stand. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for all that you're doing in my life and in this church life. Father, I pray that this morning, if there's any in here, Lord, that maybe we've been cut off and we didn't even realize we were cut off. We didn't even realize that we were no longer producing fruit. But Father, that the realization came to our minds, to our hearts, to our souls this morning that we are no longer producing a good fruit, that we've backslidden, that we've fallen back into what the world has for us. Father, I pray for repentance this morning and a cleansing in each of our hearts and each of our minds. Lord, I pray that each and every one of us would examine ourselves right now in a real way. Are we producing fruit keeping with repentance? Is there evidence of you in our daily life, in the way that we love those around us, in the way that we care for those around us, and even in our enemies? When they're mean, when they've done bad to us, Father, are we still kind? Are we still merciful? Holy Spirit, I pray that you would convict, that you would transform, and that you would encourage this morning. Lord, that you would encourage each and every one of us that you have a purpose, that you have a plan for such a time as this that we were placed here. Father, that we would be seeking you. Lord, that we would know your will. That we would be plugged in, not just on Sundays, but plugged in every day, praying, reading, seeking you. Holy Spirit, have your way now with every heart in here, in Jesus' mighty name. If you need prayer this morning, if you need to spend some time alone with the Father, if maybe you've just felt a disconnect, this is your opportunity to get things right, to repent, to cry out to your Heavenly Father.
In the morning, when I in the morning, when I rise, in the morning, when I rise, give me Jesus, give me
this morning in Sunday school, Kyle was reading out of Romans chapter 2. And it's verse 4 says, "Or do you show contempt for the riches of His kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you towards repentance?" I would just tell you that, and maybe you showing kindness to those people that are so mean, so ugly, the enemies, it might lead them towards repentance, that they see there's something different about your life.